bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we're going to be talking about how to bring the youth back to God, which is so important because I'll tell you, in working in prison ministry and the WINGS program, we've worked with many young people who have been incarcerated and who have been addicted to drugs and alcohol. In addition to that, young people in schools and community centers who are just basically outside the box when it comes to going to church. And we're going to bring on a guest, Mr. Tom Bogdan, who has been here before. He is a father of 11. He is married, and he is on the air right now. Tom, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, so Tom, you know, one of the challenges that we have is bringing the youth back to God. And just recently we had a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. that was focusing on the Diocese of Trenton. And we ran a bus trip down there along with many buses. And the bishop, who was our shepherd, so to speak, in the Diocese of Trenton, you know, one of his concerns is how to bring the youth back to God. So, as a father of 11 kids, you know, what is a technique that you use or presently using to help your own kids to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, I guess first and foremost would be example. You know, as far as following our religion, mass on Sundays, holy day obligations. I just retired from work. My wife goes to daily mass every day, which I want to start doing. And I guess it's just trying to lead by example. And I always, especially my boys, and I do it with the girls too, but the girls, my wife takes care of the girls. I plant little seeds. And they see it, like they know. Because they see me doing it, they know my devotion to our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just give them, you plant that little seed, that mustard seed. You have to plant that, or it's a little feet behind you. You have to, you know, show by example and talk to them about it. Like, my kids are, and I've been so blessed, my kids are so receptive. Like, you know, they listen. And that's the main thing, like they listen.
Okay, and that's great. So leading by example, planting the seed. And to our listening audience, my friends, I want to integrate something very important that, you know, the Word of God is something that, you know, we have available to us, Tom. In every home, there's a Bible, but very often it's not opened. And I tell you, if the kids are not going to church, they may never hear the Word of God. So I want to just integrate a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 13 to 15. And here it is. It's called the Blessing of the Children. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After he placed his hands on them, and he went away. So, you know, for us, Tom, letting the children, you know, come into the church is a beautiful thing, and it's our calling right from the words of our Lord's mouth to let the children come. And there are those parents out there we know who sometimes who are working, you know, very hard to maintain their homes, and maybe they are tired and are sleeping in, unable to find the energy to get to church. But how do you do it with 11 kids, Tom? How do you do it?
I'll tell you, Joe, and I'm not even going to say it's a struggle. And what's really great is when we have the little guys, like we have now, they're under our control. They have no option. They have to go. But they go. I mean, you know, but when they get older, they stop going, of course. I mean, out of my older kids, we pray for them all the time. We pray to St. Monica because she'll bring them back eventually if it's God's will. But it's so great when they're little because it's the little feet behind you. Like, you have to show an example. Like, my kids, I go to church because I want to go to church, and they see that. I don't say, oh, we have to go to church. Come on, we have to go to church. No, I want to go to church because that's my time that we spend with the Lord. I mean, if people only knew the true sacrifice of the Mass, they would faint and have heart attacks. Like, we've lost that. Like, you know, people coming to church, they rush in, they rush out. They don't understand the true sacrifice of the Mass. And I always pray before communion, I pray to our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to let my communion with you be worthy, because it's a sacrifice of the Mass. We've lost that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And that's one of the concerns, actually, is the, you know, the belief in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist itself has diminished to less than 30% of the Catholics in the nation. And so, you know, once again, the Word of God, you know, confirms in so many areas that we have the true presence of Christ. And the Word of God delivered, you know, is so important. You know, the Mass itself, we have three readings. We have the Old Testament reading first, and then we have the letter from St. Paul, you know, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. And then we have the Gospel from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And right now I teach confirmation class with my wife, Maregia, each and every Wednesday. We just finished our 10th week for 14 kids. We have 50 to 100 students there every Wednesday. And I just tell you, on the positive side, I have to take my hat off to the students who have gone to school all day and who have, some haven't eaten a meal, and they still have homework to do, but there they are coming to the, you know, religious instruction every Wednesday night from 6 to 8. And I have to really say that the parents getting them there and picking them up have done a phenomenal job of helping their kids to stay connected. And I think that's the message here, that the parents are really, you know, part of the first church, which is at home. And that message, you know, like you mentioned, leading by example, dropping seeds, and being really a great role model for your kids and helping them to understand our faith, because it is a journey.
It's the little feet behind you. Yeah. Our Lord talked about that. It's that you have to, you know, and you talk about the parables that Jesus used, because just his parables about planting the seed, you know, fertile soil, some seed goes into the rocks and the thorns, and it never makes it out. It gets pushed out. But then if you put it in fertile soil, because I'm a gardener, I love the garden. And that's the key, the root system. You have to get the deep roots in these children, because they're our future, because we're losing it. And yeah, you know that. We're losing it.
Absolutely.
It's a shame, but our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he knew all this was going to happen. He said some of the seed would be scattered on, you know, infertile soil, but then that seed that falls on fertile soil, they're the ones we have to concentrate on. We can't spend our time worrying about the ones who have fallen away. although we want them, we want to nurture them and bring them back in. And I don't have to tell you this, but sometimes it's fruitless because he talked about that.
Yeah.
It depends on where it falls.
Absolutely. And it is really challenging. You know, in doing the WINGS program, we've been to over 100 schools as a speaker and 8 prisons and many recovery homes. And many years ago, we had a young lady who walked out of the presentation, which was focusing on the life of the unborn child and family life. And she walked out, and I completed the presentation and seen her in the hallway. And she came up to me. She said, "You know, Mr. Montone, I just wanted to apologize for walking out." I said, "No, not at all. I thought maybe, you know, you had to go to the restroom or something." She said, "You know, it wasn't that. It was just that the story you were talking about really touched me, because, you know, I was the victim of a certain situation. Can I talk to you about it?" So this young lady was raped on a retreat in Chile by 5 men. And she was 17 years old. And she said to me, you know, but I forgave them. I said, "You forgave them?" I said, "That's unbelievable." I said, "How did you do that?" She said, "Well, I have a very close relationship to Jesus and God. And you know, God gave me the humility to forgive."
And grace.
Yeah.
He gave her the grace.
And so I'll just tell you that, you know, when you have faith as a child, you know, you never know how you're going to need to rely on that faith, to depend on God. In this case, it was for forgiveness of a rape by 5 men. And there have been, you know, many other examples of that. We've had literally thousands of students come through the WINGS program. And in prison ministry, we've seen, you know, an abundance of homicides, actually, by the youth who are walking around with weapons today. I know years ago we had 60 young people who were charged with homicide in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons in one facility. And they were aged maybe 13 up to 16, 17. And so, you know, it really behooves us to focus on the youth and do everything that we can to motivate them, Tom, to inspire them, to encourage them, to find their way, you know, to Jesus Christ, who has the answer that we're looking for.
The youth is the future. It's the little feet that walk behind you. And if we don't, and I don't even have to tell you about the way society's going right now, and the youth, social media, like me and my wife are cutting off. She shuts the Wi-Fi off because they go in their rooms like we've never had a TV in a bedroom. That's the biggest mistake you can ever have. None of them have TVs in their bedroom. And we actually got rid of a TV for a while. I got rid of it during Lent. My kids thought somebody came in and stole it. I put it away. I said, "No more TV. We're done." And it lasted for a while. Now it creeped back in. But we watch like The Chosen, and we watch religious programs. But that TV has taken the place of the Bible.
Yeah.
And this scripture.
Right.
Because it was Maria Goretti. I believe it was Maria Goretti who was raped and then killed. Is it Maria Goretti?
Yes.
She's one of my wife. And what did she do? She forgave him. And then he ended up, through the grace of God, he ended up being a saint, or almost. He became a priest, or her murderer. Actually, he converted because she forgave him for what he did to her. She forgave him. That's the most incredible grace that God gave. She forgave him for that.
Yeah.
His name's on the tip of my mind. I can't think of his name. But Maria Goretti, oh my gosh.
I'm sure the Holy Spirit will come up with the name, but I'll just tell you, that's a great example. It's similar to what I was just talking about, you know. And I'll just tell you, Tom, that many years ago when we were doing the Wings program over at St. Mark's Elementary School, and we had gone to a different school every week and did hundreds of students, and we were dealing with the 6th and 7th and 8th graders. And when we were done with the presentation, a young girl came up to me from the 7th grade, and she said, "Mr. Montone, is what you said really true?" And I said, "Yes, sweetheart, it is." I said, "Well, why do you ask?" She said, "Well, because my cousin is pregnant." I said, "Well, how old is she?" And she said, 13. And I said, "Wow, that's incredible. She's 13. She was in 8th grade, and she's now pregnant. This is a Catholic school." So one of the great, motivators for us to bring the youth back is to avoid those challenges of young people taking on these tragedies, these very great situations of early pregnancies, births out of wedlock, STDs, overdoses, car accidents, DUIs. There's a host of challenges that we've seen in the Wings program. And I just tell you, when we have God in our lives, we have every opportunity to avoid those things. And it's not easy, because this is the world we're living in. We're competing with the agnostics, the atheists, the ultra-liberal, LGBTQ, entity. We're competing with Wall Street, Hollywood, tablets, cell phones, and television. There's so much out there that's the competition. And like I said in one of the other shows, not only do we want to compete well for the faith, but we want to win these people over. And I think that's one of the messages St. Paul gives us, to compete well for the faith, but let's go beyond that to win them over whenever we can. Just like Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who performed, 40,000 plus abortions, who then, was given the grace of God to convert to Catholicism. And is now, a voice for the unborn, if you will. And so, it's a journey, this thing we call faith. But God gives us the opportunity to lead the children and to not prevent the children from going. And this is where I think we have to get to the parents just a little bit more, who are just a little reluctant or maybe not motivated to put the actual Word of God and the Mass itself up on a higher priority list. I want this to be not an obligation of 1 hour a week, but a number one priority in people's lives, where God is important. He's not an obligation, but He is important, and we want to go to church. We want to be with our Lord and Savior. We want to hear the Word of God. And it takes time, to get to that point. But it's all, I truly believe, by touching the heart of the people with the love of God. The most powerful gift in the world that we can give to another person is the love of God.
That is so well spoken, Joe. Because you can't just look at it as an obligation. You have to you have to love and want to go to Mass. And before I go off for communion all the time, I always pray. I'm like, "Lord, please make me worthy to commune with you." Like, I don't take it lightly. I I do a lot of kneeling time in church. I'm sure people look at me all the time. We sit in the front and the left, because the priest is always on that front left. Because just my personal opinion, I'd rather have a priest give me communion. And I pray every time, like, "Please, Lord, let my communion with you be worthy." Like, and then I offer it up basically for one of my children. My communion always gets offered up, and then the poor souls in purgatory. But, that it's the little feet behind you, and they see that. Because when I was when I was younger, my mom used to drag me to church. I hated going to church. I didn't even want to hear the priest. And I'd see my mom with the rosary, and how she would, during communion, she would beat her chest 3 times. And her reverence really stuck with me. God bless my mom. I mean, I don't know where I'd be without my mom. And I told you this before, my mother, Mary, my earthly mother, Mary.
Yeah.
Mary, and her name's actually Mary Magdalene. Believe it or not, that's my mother's name, was my mother's name, Mary Magdalene. And her example was what pulled me through. And I don't think we talked about this before, to get off that subject real quick, but my seventh son, Andrew, has Down syndrome. And I don't think I mentioned it before.
Yeah, I think you did in the second show, you mentioned it.
Okay. And but they sent us to the March of Dimes to have him aborted. My wife's like, you know, Ambiosantesis, we're going to take all these tests. And we're like, we're not going to take any tests because we're taking him as he comes. He is, and I'm sure we did discuss this, he is such a joy to our life. He's an altar boy at our church, and he always serves with my son, my other son, John. So John has to be there with Andrew. But he carries the candle or he carries a cross, and you just see that smile on his face where he's going up. You know, and they get the communion that they bring up, the you know, one of the parishioners brings up thing. And he's just, I'm so proud of him. And he walks past me at the end because we sit down and we let everybody leave. And then we just say our prayers after. And he comes by me. He'll be holding the candle. And he just got this big smile on his face. And it's such a, oh my, it's such a joy.
That's
for
a,
Andrew.
That's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to pray for Andrew and that God will use him to be a light, you know, on this earth. And, you know, on that note, Tom, you know, we're talking about the youth and bringing the youth back to God. And one of the things that we've done in our ministry, you know, that has been presented here at Holy Spirit Radio many times is the pilgrimages to different shrines throughout the United States and Mexico, Canada, and even Europe. We've run over 100 pilgrimages in our ministry, My Father's Vineyard. And so we're going to start run our trips once again. And our first trip is going to be planned for late December. It's going to be to the Sight and Sound Theater to see the story of Moses, which is a very powerful story. And we'll have a lunch at the restaurant just below the Sight and Sound Theater. And, of course, snacks on the bus. We'll pray the rosary and play Name That Saint. But we will start running pilgrimages again, you know, every couple of months to bring the youth back to God. And there's no better place to go than the Sight and Sound Theater to see the story of Moses. So, yeah.
We've been there. I went on a class trip and I didn't want to go. I told my wife, like, oh, I don't want to go. And I forget which one it was, but it was mind-blowing. They had the apocalypse at the end, and they had these helicopters come down, and then Jesus comes out of the top, and everybody was
right.
Crying. Oh, it's such a wonderful place, but I will definitely be interested in that.
Yeah.
I would like to do that if you send me all
sure.
that information.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Tom. And I want to put it out there to our listening audience as well that we'll be running our pilgrimage to the Sight and Sound Theater in late December. The date and time hasn't been set yet, but it will be. Again, the story of Moses. We'll have breakfast on the bus, breakfast snacks, a luncheon, buffet luncheon at the restaurant just below the Sight and Sound Theater. And, of course, we'll have transportation provided, point-to-point pickup and drop-off service, as we always do. And if you're interested in that, please give us a call at 215-771-7501. Again, 215-771-7501. And that's a pilgrimage supporting family life. And we will be really, truly in a great position, Tom, with Christmas coming. And, you know, we're just getting kicked off here with the Thanksgiving season. I want to say happy Thanksgiving coming up to all of our listening audience and to you, Tom, and your wife, Christina. Now, how is she doing? How is Christina doing?
She's doing wonderful. My wife is, oh my gosh, she's my anchor, Joe. I mean, it's, this house would not survive without her. Okay. She is the heart of the family. And I think we mentioned this before, where Adam's rib was the rib that protected the heart. And he put the mother in the center, covering the heart. She's the heart of our family. My wife is just, she's a saint, Saint Christina.
Okay. Well, I would like to invite her to join us on our next program and to talk a little bit about motherhood, the great gift of life and family life. You think she'd be open to that?
Yeah, I'm sure she would, because who knows what she's going to say when the Spirit gets into her, because she's such a godly woman, faithful woman. She's so devoted to the saints. And if you could offer up a prayer for my nephew, him and his wife went, they're expecting, and they couldn't find a heartbeat. And my wife right away told him about different saints, and we're still praying. Like, we're not giving up faith that there's a 'cause they've been trying so hard to get to have a baby, and then they went today and they couldn't find a heartbeat. So we're praying so hard.
Okay.
My wife looked up a saint that had a miracle. So that's my wife.
Yeah.
She is such a saintly woman. She's such a devout Catholic woman.
And that's,
I can't even put it into words.
That's
about my wife.
Well, we're going to have her on the next program, and we'll set up a time and date to record. But I want to tell you, we had a pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And there was a woman on board who shared with us that her daughter and her son-in-law were unable to have a child for almost 3 years. And we prayed the rosary on the bus. We dedicated to her and her son-in-law. We prayed once again at the National Shrine of Our Lady Mount Carmel. And on the altar, I was handing out communion, but also scapulars for Our Lady Mount Carmel. And when she came up, the Spirit told me to give her another one for her daughter and son-in-law. So I followed her to the pew and gave it to her. Long story short, we prayed on the bus going home, and about 2 months later, she was on our next trip to EWTN, to the Mother Angelica's home in Birmingham and Hansville, Alabama. And when I greeted her at the airport, she was crying. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Nothing. I just have some good news for you. My daughter is pregnant 2 months." And so, Tom, I just want you to know she had a child. And through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, we're going to pray right now that your nephew and his lovely wife will have a child, and there will be a heartbeat. We pray that God will intervene and provide what he always does, which is the gift of life itself to all human beings. And we ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, and through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's our show for today, my friends. Tom, I'm going to say thank you very much for joining us today. We're just about out of time, but thank you, and I will call you. We'll set up a date for Christina to join us. And my friends out there, God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day. God bless, and happy Thanksgiving. God bless.